This is Ron Orle, and you're listening to the Activist Investing Today podcast. And I'm super excited today to have Max Freeburg on the podcast to talk about the fascinating and, I found for the most part, behind-the-scenes world of expert networks, or as Max described them in a recent conversation we had, high-velocity headhunters who find experts for your niche project. Max, after working at management consulting for McKinsey & Co., in 2018 launched InX1, which is a platform with more than 20 expert networks. An activist fund, for example, can coordinate all of their expert network interactions in one place at InX1. And we'll get to that. But first, I think we're going to talk a little about what expert networks are. And Max is very well situated to tell us about that. So thank you, Max, for taking the time.
Thank you, Ron. It's great to be here.
Okay. So before I ask you more information about InX1, we need to take a step back for our listeners and go over what exactly expert networks are and how they relate to the activist investor world. I know that the activist hedge funds are just a sliver of the overall number of different kinds of clients that reach out to expert networks to find experts. So maybe give us a brief explanation of what expert networks are, who are their clients, and maybe go over a little bit about the different kinds of experts a client such as an hedge fund, activist hedge fund, might seek out.
Sure. So expert networks are, as you relayed, high-velocity headhunters. They are recruitment firms who source candidates for you, not for placements, but for typically what are phone conversations. You would typically do this in an investment research setting where you speak to experts on the industry that you're researching. So typically former employees of companies in that space, former regulators, people from industry associations, or even up or down the value chain, like customers or suppliers of the company that you're interested in. The expert network helps you identify and arrange secure and compliant consultations with them where you can ask all the questions that you need to put, lay down the mosaic of your research puzzle, combining various pieces to form your opinion on it. Their clients are, you know, historically started out with hedge funds and including activist funds. The industry is about 25 years old, although you could argue that brokering knowledge has been around forever, right? But the expert networks in the shape that we know them today has been around for about 25 years, starting with hedge funds and then spreading into the wider private equity industry as that ballooned, and strategy consultants. But also far beyond, as strategy consultants moved on. Also, lots and lots of corporate strategy teams now use expert networks to quickly get up to speed on various topics.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's basically strategic advisory firms, hedge funds, including activists, and private equity, corporate, and then kind of a growing world of the corporations using expert networks to get these experts. That's fascinating. So I guess maybe you could talk a little about InX1 now. The firm that you formed, because my understanding is that it could help hedge funds and activist hedge funds as they seek out expert networks. And then maybe talk a little bit also about how you've collected a bunch of data on the size of the industry in terms of dollars and how I guess it's grown. And maybe I guess expectations, I suspect you believe it will continue to grow or has it kind of leveled out now?
Sure. So overall, we've been around for about 6 years in InX1. We support primarily strategy consulting and private equity firms, but also quite a few hedge funds, including activists. They substitute their traditional expert networks typically with InX1, where they can access multiple expert networks in one platform. We will get to the compliance complications of expert networks in a bit, but InX1 is built to address many of them, coordinating all the communication, whether it's from a data privacy standpoint or just compliance oversight. All my analysts, which experts do they engage? How much are we paying to whom? And so on. All of that is coordinated on InX1 with all the calls recorded and transcribed. It's about a $2 and a bit billion industry.
Wow.
It's grown rapidly, but as many things took a hit in the last few years, as especially private equity deal making slowed down. But we've seen it continue to grow year over year. It's comprised a total of about 100 expert network firms worldwide.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's fascinating. And I thought maybe it's important to note now that, you know, if you're an activist hedge fund or I guess a private equity firm and you're trying to get information about a particular company, and you're looking for X employees or suppliers or customers of that company, you might reach out. And, you know, when you were talking about how the NX1 kind of coordinates all the requests in one place, I think it's important to note, tell me if I got this correct, Max, that the activist hedge fund will reach out to multiple expert networks and may use experts that different expert networks find, or whoever responds to them first, I guess, or finds the best ex-employees, the former CEO of the Fortune 500 company, or an ex-employee in sales that they want to talk to, you know, they would reach out to them first, right? But it's a fair statement to say that an activist hedge fund or even a private equity firm, I suspect, will reach out to multiple expert networks to find multiple ex-employees to talk to. Does that sound fair?
Absolutely, yeah. And you could say it's a jump ball between them because they compete to find the relevant experts. Every expert network also has a somewhat different database of experts and focus. You know, there are some that only do certain geographies. We partner with expert networks that only do Japan or the German-speaking part of Europe and so on, or the industry verticalized expert networks who are very good at digging out specific healthcare KOLs. And then those are the ones that you want to engage. But yeah, typically most firms would engage with more than one expert networks simply to cast a wide net and make sure you get the best information for your most important business decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's absolutely fascinating. I did a lot of research for a feature recently and found that a lot of activist hedge funds use expert networks to find ex-employees and other people as they contemplate whether to launch a campaign at a target company or whether they want to make an investment in a company and engage with management and things like that. So it's an absolutely fascinating industry. And I wanted, Max, maybe before we get to compliance, if you could just talk a little about the fee structure, which as a reporter that doesn't pay to interview people, I found quite interesting. So in very basic terms, what I found was that the client, let's say the activist hedge fund, pays a fee to the expert network who will use its amazing network of resources to find the expert, but the expert network will pay a smaller fee to the expert who agrees to speak to the client, the activist hedge fund. Is that a fair thing? You have kind of two sets of fees and the client is paying multiples of what the expert network pays the expert. Is that fair? Or
yeah, that's very fair. Yeah. So the experts supply a 4x markup to the client on what they're effectively a broker. So they would pay, you know, an average typical fee would be like $250 to an average expert. And then they would charge five times that to the client. So $1,200, $1,250. Now, there's a very dynamic range there where experts can command fees in the thousands of dollars and client fees go up accordingly. But the typical calls would be around those numbers. So the end client paying between $1,000 or $1,500.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So like I said, I did an informal poll of activist investors and found that many activists employ expert networks. And there was a recent litigation involving health technology company Masimo, where we found that in the litigation came out that Politan Capital and one of the, I guess, top tier activist hedge funds hired not one, but two expert networks, AlphaSights and Mosaic Research, as it did research on the company at different stages of their campaign. At one point, they hired an expert network shortly after Masimo made an acquisition that the markets didn't like, and they used the expert network to find ex-employees to dig into the company a little bit. So basically, I thought that that was an interesting example. So Max, maybe you could talk a little about the kind of compliance protocols that expert networks and their clients have in place. This came up in the Politan Capital Masimo situation, where I found that some of the expert networks had very strict compliance protocols in place. For example, like, do expert networks typically agree to find people who are currently employed, not ex-employees, but currently employed at the companies the activist hedge fund is seeking information about? And my suspicion is no. And then if the person has left the company, you know, is there a period of time that has to transpire between when the expert network will agree to put that person in touch with the activist hedge fund or the client? And why? Why do they make these kind of decisions on this matter?
So I'll answer the straight questions first. Like, no, they would not set up consultations with current employees of publicly traded companies. And typically, you'd apply a minimum 6-month period before you can engage anyone who has recently left the firm. Many firms have then internal guidelines to wait for 12, 18 months. Why is this? If I'm looking to invest in a company, wouldn't I want the most recent information? Well, yes, but you also don't want to break any laws, regulations, or do something improper. So all the compliance protocols really boil down to one thing. You don't want to trade on material non-public information, so MNPI. Because if a hedge fund gets their hands on MNPI, their hands are tied. They cannot use that information. I've spoken to lots of compliance officers and CIOs who say, look, if we get any MNPI, we'll need to just ditch that entire research effort. We could have been researching a deal for months, and then we got hold of information that we're simply not allowed to trade on. We'll need to just drop everything we've done, because we would be doing something improper if we were trading on that piece of information. So it's in the activist hedge fund's interest to not get any material non-public information, MNPI. It's, of course, also in the expert network's interest to not provide that, facilitate access to information that you should not have. And it's also in the expert's interest, who are typically in under non-disclosure agreements, loyalty obligations to their employer when they're employed there. So back to what I said at the top of the call, when you're doing expert calls, you're not really actively asking, like, what will the profit margin be of this product in the earnings release on Thursday? But rather, you're trying to get to lay the mosaic, as in understanding relatives. If you were a long timer in this industry, what would be part of the fabric of your general knowledge of who are the good players? Who's doing well right now? What's your general sense of the R&D department in company X? So rather than specifics, you want to get a deep sense of the industry. So for that matter, then that desire to not get hold of material non-public information, that has translated into two sets of compliance protocols. One is on the expert network side and one is on the client side. Expert networks, in a way, are an additional, a second layer of defense for the hedge fund. So instead of having their analysts go meet with people randomly in bars, dark back alleys, conferences, what have you, you connect with industry experts through these expert networks. Everything is documented. You have a paper trail on everything. You keep track of how much you've been paying the expert per consultation, but also over time, over multiple consultations. Typically, you have a recording of the consultation and the topics discussed. As a customer, you require the expert network to have a certain set of protocols to not facilitate consultations with, for example, current employees of publicly traded companies, to have the experts sign non-disclosure agreements and to attest that they show you their real CV and to be transparent about any loyalties or interests or obligations that they have around the topic that you will be discussing with them. So that's one set of compliance restrictions. The second one is within the client themselves. Many hedge funds would have a pre-approval mechanism where if an analyst wants to speak to an expert, they flag it to typically a compliance officer who gets to review the expert and then say, okay, I approve or I decline or I need more information about why we want to speak to this expert. All in interest of protecting the house and the work that you've done over time from getting damaged by information that you shouldn't be possessing. And this is where for example, an extension to the 6-month window comes in. It's very common to say, look, we don't want to talk to anyone who's been working in a publicly traded company for the last 12 months.
But I could see like there would be a tension between what the analyst of the activist hedge fund wants to get information about a company that I could see an activist maybe wouldn't want to talk to somebody that had left the company, you know, 12, 18 months ago, because they're worried that that person would have stale information and wouldn't have up-to-date information. But I could also see why the hedge fund and the expert network and the expert would want to be gone at least 6 months to avoid the revealing of this material non-public information that could cause the activist to have kind of inside information and be really prohibited from making trades on that information. So, but I feel like there's a tension. You want somebody that has useful information about the company that they left, but at the same time, you don't want them to talk about things that are currently happening at the company. Is that a fair?
Absolutely fair, yeah. Which is why many hedge funds are conservative in the sense that they prefer to transact with long-term partners who they trust are equally long-term minded as they are, that they have a business to protect. They're not in it for a quick buck, even though they could, in theory, sell an expert who currently works at the company you're trading. They see the tail risk of doing so and the damage they could do themselves.
In this one situation I came across, the activist hedge fund was talking to people that had left the company more than 6 months, but wanted to know how current employees of the company would feel if the founder slash CEO was no longer at the company. There's often the concern that if the founder CEO leaves, that a lot of employees would leave too or be frustrated because the leader that kind of led them to the company's success over a number of years is no longer there. And so anyways, the activist was kind of collecting this information as it was, I guess, subsequently decided to launch a director contest at the company. But that's the kind of information that it sounds like, as long as the ex-employee had left a long enough period, you know, 6 months plus away, it's not inside information. It's not about, like you said, the upcoming expectations for sales or profits in the quarter that's coming up next. It's just kind of a general color about how this ex-employee would feel about the company and its future without its founder CEO.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a fascinating industry. And so just to wrap up, Max, I think you might have mentioned this. You feel like with the M&A market, with private equity a little bit sluggish due to interest rates and things like that, it sounds like it's stagnating a bit. But once the M&A market picks up again, you think that this expert network industry will continue to grow, not just in the U.S., but globally. And obviously, there are subsets that use the expert network unrelated to deals, like I suspect the strategic consulting firms like McKinsey and, you know, activist hedge funds and things like that. But overall, you feel like this industry has been growing over the last number of years, and you think it'll continue to grow in the number of expert network firms. You mentioned there were over 100 globally, which I found amazing. And you think it'll grow just in terms of the dollar figure of their use, or what do you envision?
Yeah, I have a horse in this race. Like, I'm obviously bullish on the industry I operate in. Fundamentally, we see this industry continue growing, although it stagnated a bit while keeping growing during the slowdown in especially private equity deal activity and the consulting work that came with it. We see long-term tailwind trends for this industry. Global value chains become ever more globalized and complex and niche. So will the need for research to understand them. One of my favorite sayings is that expert networks start where Google ends. So everything that's indexed, documented, image, word, audio, you'll find on Google, ChatGPT, Perplexity. But by definition, there's an ever-moving frontier of information that's not yet indexed. And that's where expert networks operate. And we see that frontier expanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, at The Deal, we're fascinated by expert networks and particularly how activist hedge funds use them. We wonder whether we'll see corporations. I know we talked a little bit about how corporations are also using expert networks, but I feel like it's a small subset of the overall industry. But I wonder whether a corporation would hire an expert network, find ex-employees maybe of the activist hedge fund that's targeting them to gain a little bit more insight into the hedge fund and its strategy. But for the most part, it seems like it's one way right now in the activist hedge fund world with the activist hedge funds using it. But we are out of time. And you've been listening to the Activist Investing Today podcast. And we've been talking to Max Freeburg, founder of expert network platform NX1. Thanks, Max, for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Ron, for having me.